Glad to see everyone here. Glad to have our visitors. The Burns family is also out of town today. I happen to know that they are gone, but we're glad to have you. And as we were singing that last song, it reminded me, Micah, you'll probably remember when Bethesda would have the singings over at that little community place, whatever that was. Boy, that was really wonderful. And that song reminded me, that was one of the songs we would sing. And those were good days back then. They're good days now. They were good days back then. And I am so thankful for the good job that's being done by many of our young men. I appreciated the talk a while ago, and I've enjoyed the talks that Justin has done, Justin Dobbs, and Jonathan Reeder. I've just been appreciating the good lessons that you young men have been teaching. What it was all about. What it was all about. Well, one thing I want to tell you what it's about is that I forgot when I prepared this PowerPoint lesson, I didn't put anything in it about transition at all. So we're just going to have to forget about all of the wonderful transitions from slide to slide and point to point because I forgot to put it in. Many today have no idea what led to the division between many churches of Christ, which began over 50 years ago, this division. In fact, it was more like 60 years ago that this division came about. This lesson is designed to provide some background and some information about what that division was over. We have to go to the idea of a pattern which is given, the idea of a pattern that is to be followed. When God gave Moses the pattern of the tabernacle, He said, quoting here, "See that thou makest all things according to the pattern." Hebrews 8:5. Quoting Exodus 25 and verse 40. Now, as we think about this lesson today, and especially this idea of a pattern, I want you to think very carefully of the spiritual ramifications that we have when we deal with anything that is given as a pattern. And Moses is told here, "See that thou make all things according to the pattern." That meant there was a pattern given, and the people were to follow that pattern. In this case, Moses is particularly instructed to see that you do all things according to the pattern. So there is a pattern, and there are things to be done according to that pattern. And so it's not an optional matter. This is a thing which God requires, a thing which God demands. And we must be aware of that. We must acknowledge that. When David gave Solomon the pattern for the temple, he said it was the pattern that God had given him, and Solomon was to follow it. Now, that's not hard. That's not hard. That's not hard to understand. Here was a pattern that God had given David, and Solomon was to follow that pattern in regard to the temple. Now, I have a quotation here, a couple of quotations. This one is from the 1 Chronicles 28, 11 and 12, and then verse 19. So we're going to look next at those two passages, verses 11 and 12 of 1 Chronicles 28, and then verse 19. So here are verses 11 and 12. "Then David gave to Solomon his son the pattern of the porch of the temple and of the houses thereof, and of the treasuries thereof, and of the upper rooms thereof." Well, now wait just a minute. Why do we need all of that stuff? Why couldn't he have said, David gave to Solomon his son the pattern of some stuff, of the things? That would have been rather indefinite, would it not? Do you see how definite, not indefinite, but how definite this is? The pattern. It was of the porch and of the houses thereof, and of the treasuries thereof, and of the upper rooms thereof, and of the inner chambers thereof, and of the place of the mercy seat, and the pattern of all that he had by the Spirit. It sounds here like there were a lot of things that were involved in this pattern, and they were all important. Let's look at the next one. All this, referring to the things that we referred to in the previous slide, all this, said David, have I been made to understand in writing from the hand of the Lord, even all the works of this pattern. Now that's verse 19. So look again at it. All this, said David, I have been made to understand in writing from the hand of the Lord, even all the works of this pattern. So David says in this passage that I got this from God, that I have been made to understand in writing from the hand of the Lord, even all the works of this pattern. When God instructs us about what to do, no matter what area of behavior it might be in, when God instructs about what to do, all that He says on that subject becomes the pattern that we are to follow. It becomes the pattern that we are to follow, the directions that we are to take. And this pattern includes whatever commands God gave. It includes the examples of the people acting under approved, inspired leadership. And I'm deliberately just taking time. I want you to let that digest. The pattern, the instructions, the set of instructions. It includes the commands that he gave. It includes the examples of people acting under the leadership of approved, inspired men, such as in Acts 20, when the disciples met together on the first day of the week to break bread. And Paul was there with them. Paul was an approved man, an apostle of the Lord. He was inspired. And Paul participated with the church in Troas there in everything that they were doing in connection with that meeting. That becomes a part of the pattern. You know, it's interesting that you can go to the store, like Sandra and I were looking around at the store the other day on about how to do certain things. How to build something, how to make something. And so they had some written instructions. And the written instructions were how to build this thing. So what would you assume that you would be supposed to do? If you got those written instructions and took them home with you with the product that you had purchased, wouldn't you get the idea that you were supposed to read the instructions and then you were supposed to do what the instructions say? That'd be the idea. They also had a video. They had a video cassette that you could buy, and it would show you how to do it. It wasn't written. That would be showing you how to do it. Now, what I would like to ask you is, which one of those would constitute the directions about how to do it? Would it only be the written ones that are put in the form of declarative sentences or commands? Take your hammer. See, it's got to be like that, or it doesn't count. No, we don't demand that every line in the instruction be a command. It could be just a kind of a principle. But what about the video? Would that count? Would that be instructions? Would that be directions? Even though it's not written and it's not even a command. There's not a command to be found in it. All we're doing is watching people do something. But the whole point is that they're doing it with a view to providing us with an example of what to do and how to do it. So the fact is, they are just as much instructions as anything else. So the pattern includes whatever commands he gave, the examples of the people acting under approved, inspired leadership, and third, it includes whatever necessary conclusions we have to draw from the facts that are given. And we can do that. So that when we look at instructions regarding the church meeting, what does that imply? What does it necessarily imply? Well, for a meeting to take place, everybody who is going to be at the meeting is going to have to be at the same place. By definition, if we're not all at the same place, we haven't met. So to meet, we're going to have to have a common place. That's what's necessarily implied with the idea of assembling to worship. You have to have a place. What the place is varies. That's not necessarily implied, but some kind of place is. And when someone starts saying, well, yeah, but what about a church building? I don't think we should have a church building. So what do you think? What do you think? You're going to say, I think it should be in our house. Well, now, you have just taken a step and you have tried to pin down something that the New Testament does not pin down. You are binding where God has not bound. The fact is, when we read in the New Testament, there was any number of a variety of places that people met. But the one thing in common was that they all met somewhere, and that was because to assemble to worship, you have to have a place. So the pattern that the Lord has given includes all of these things. And we cannot just take one and say, I don't care. The only thing that matters here is the commands. Now, my brothers and sisters, I want to just tell you what the truth is about this. I want you to understand this. Among brethren who have taken the position that the only thing you have to follow is commands. The fact is, if you take that position, I don't know how long it will be, but inevitably you will not follow the commands either. Once you begin setting at naught the Word of God, there is no stopping place until you have set it all at naught, logically. Now, you may stop. There are people who do stop, and they just fly kind of a holding pattern there. They're inconsistent, and they remind me of what Elijah told the prophet, the people that worship Baal. How long are you going to go limping between the two sides? If Baal is God, follow him. If the Lord is God, follow him. But logically, once you begin to nibble away at any of these points, saying, oh, this one is the only one that counts, I'll guarantee you time will come when that one won't count either. We cannot begin to dismiss the pattern. And if we reject the need to have a pattern, which many have done, if we reject the need to have a pattern, then we also remove any reason to have the Bible, and we destroy any foundation for an assured relationship with God. Now, do you know why I said an assured relationship with God? It is this, that any time that we set about devising our own relationship with God, how can that be assured? I can make up mine, and you can make up yours. But how will I know that my relationship, which I have devised and I have worked out, is acceptable with God? Am I the one in charge? Are you the one in charge of determining what that relationship is to be? Or is it God? If it is God, then we cannot ignore what He says to us in His Word. You know, one of the interesting things to me is that as you study what is being studied in colleges these days, what courses are appealing to people? Years ago, there was much more interest in students applying to study Hebrew and Greek, and that has declined. One reason it has declined is if the Word of God does not matter, why study it in Hebrew? If the Word of God does not matter, why study the Greek? Well, the fact is, you don't need to study Hebrew or Greek to know God's will. But I'm merely making the point that I believe that we can see the fruits of this attitude that we don't need a pattern reflected in many, many different ways in our society. And just as I've said, it removes any reason to have the Bible. And perhaps most serious of all, it destroys any foundation for having assurance that this relationship I have with God is valid and it is real. When we talk about cooperation, cooperation is one of those English words that in the course of events was given almost, a catch word. Cooperation. It's one of those words, if I said, do you know what cooperation is? Everybody would know what cooperation is. That's when you're working with one another. That's when everybody's helping out. We know what cooperation is. But cooperation became an issue in reference to churches. Cooperation refers to churches working for the same goals and on the same projects. Now evaluate that statement for a moment. Churches working for the same goals and on the same projects. And I would just have you in a general way to say, think about other churches in this county, other churches in this state, other churches in this country, other churches in this world. Can you think of any of them that are working on projects such as we are working on? What about the idea of we're supporting preachers in different parts of the world to preach the gospel? That's a project that we're engaged in. Do you think there are other churches that are doing that same kind of work? Then in regard to the broad area of preaching the gospel to the whole creation, I would say that there are a lot of churches cooperating on that. But we're not hooked together by some kind of organization. We're not hooked together in any way. We're all independently working at the same project, carrying out the Lord's will. Well, in a way, we're cooperating. We're doing that. But the fact also is that churches may cooperate even in closer relationships than that. And they do in the Bible. And we're going to note some of those. Projects in the New Testament that churches work together on include both the support of preaching and of physical help given to the poor saints. Poor saints. Saints that were put in need by famine or perhaps by persecution and deprivation caused by persecution. The saints were put in sometimes extremely dire need by some of those things. When we examine all the information given on these subjects, when we look at all the situations that I have set before you, we examine all the information given on the subjects, then we have what the Lord said about them, and this information constitutes a pattern. It constitutes a pattern that we are to follow. Because we either then follow that pattern or we make up one of our own. So here we have instructions given. Do it this way, Paul says. We have descriptions. They did it this way. Luke, the writer of Acts. So we have both the commands, the directions. We also have the examples. Now, if that does not determine what a pattern is, if that does not constitute a pattern, then I don't know how you would come up with one. And if we decide that we're not going to follow that pattern, we're going to make up one of our own. One for which there is no basis. I can't read a verse that says, do it this way. I can't read a verse that shows they did do it this way. Thus, I have no justification at all for it. So I'm going to have my own. If I'm going to do that, if you are going to do that, we need to remember, number one, we need to remember what happened to Miriam when she tired of God's arrangement concerning the leadership of His people in Numbers 12. And she got Aaron, and they both went and really rebuked Moses and told him he had taken too much upon himself and argued that they deserved a bigger cut of the pie. They weren't criticizing Moses' arrangement. They were criticizing God's arrangement. And they wanted to change God's arrangement. And the Lord came. Moses here did not defend himself. The Lord came down and He dealt with Miriam and Aaron, and He smote Miriam with leprosy. Now, I take it from that God did not like what Miriam did. And what Miriam did was reject the arrangement God had given and make up one which she wanted. Now, I wonder how she would not be able to get by with that. But I expect that I will get by with it. How can we expect to do that? We're going to need to remember what happened to Korah, Dathan, and Abiram when they sought to change God's arrangement of the priesthood. God had already designated the tribe of Levi as the tribe from which the priest would come, and He designated Aaron as the man from whom all priests would have to come, would have to descend from him. No, Korah, Dathan, and Abiram did not like that. Didn't matter that God had said, this is it. Doesn't matter. We're going to disregard that. That's one where God had given commandments. And these were people who said, we don't care. We're not going to abide by the commandments. When people are determined they're going to do their own thing, they're not going to abide by anything. Whether it's a command, whether it's an example, whether it's an inference. We go back to attitude, my friend. We go back to attitude, an attitude of respect and reverence for God. That's what it comes down to. So Korah, Dathan, and Abiram just decided that here Korah was a Levite. He wasn't satisfied with being a Levite. He wanted to be a priest, though he was not of the family of Aaron himself. Dathan and Abiram weren't even of Levi. They were of Reuben. And they wanted to be a part of this priest thing. Well, the story goes on to tell how Moses gathered the people. They gathered around the camps of Korah, Dathan, and Abiram. And Moses said, now, if these men die a death that is common to the death of all men, then you will know that the hand of God has not been involved in any special way. But if these men die in a way that is not common to men, then you will know that they have incurred the wrath of God. And Moses had told the people, stand back, get back. I've always thought right then when I would have been thinking strongly about changing my affiliation. God caused the earth to cleave asunder just like a great mouth opened up. And all the stuff of Korah, Dathan, and Abiram fell down into that crevice. And then it closed back up. Now I judge from that God did not like that. Wouldn't you think that would be a fair assumption? Well, if Korah, Dathan, and Abiram didn't get by when they wanted to change the arrangement that God had made, how do we think we're going to get by? And we will need to remember what happened to Uzzah when he participated in a way of carrying the Ark of the Covenant that God did not authorize. They carried the Ark on an ox cart. Oh, it was a new cart. Well, the fact is, God did not say a word about carrying it on a cart, whether it was a new one or an old one. He didn't say a word. Now, it's true He did not say, do not carry the Ark on a cart. See, He didn't say, do not carry the Ark on a cart. Because, you know, some people say that unless God says, thou shalt not do it, then you can do it. Well, God had not said, thou shalt not carry the Ark on a cart. The fact is, He had told them how to do it. And He had said that the priests were to carry the Ark with the staves that were attached to the Ark by the rings that were attached to the Ark. They were to carry the Ark. And Uzzah was taking part in that. And so there the Ark was being carried on that cart. And everybody involved with that was doing the wrong thing. And it was just like having a construction site where you've got some power and you have a live wire sticking right out, just sticking right out here in the open where everybody's walking around. And they've been clumsy and careless. And that wire is just there. And it's not going to hurt anybody unless they bump up against it. And so as all of the people out there going on irresponsibly, not checking into all of this, they've let that happen. One of them goes by and he bumps up against the wire. And zap! He's the one that got zapped because he's the one that bumped the wire. But they were all involved in doing what contributed to that. That's why when Uzzah touched the Ark, he was the one that touched the wire and God smote him. It was a rebuke to every one of them. They were carrying that Ark in a way that God did not authorize. And later when David had some time to recover his spiritual equilibrium about the whole thing, he explained to all the Levites and the priests that God smote Uzzah because we sought not God according to the ordinance. See, he knew what was wrong. We sought not God according to the ordinance. Well, we're going to need to stop here. I hope you can be back this evening. When I plan these lessons, I always plan them in such a way that even if you're not able to be here tonight, you will have derived a good bit of benefit just from the things we've talked about this morning. But I do hope you can be back tonight as we continue our study of this subject, and we will look in some more detail at some of the things that are involved. We do appreciate your being here. And we want to set these things before you as in any study of the Word of God with the view for you to think about it, for you to be able to study it. It may be that you don't know anything about this. If that's so, then I'm presenting it for your consideration, for you to think about. And look at these, these fundamental principles that we've laid down this morning about respecting God's Word and respecting the pattern that He's given us. And we've talked about what constitutes this pattern. And I think the bottom line is, if we do reject the things that constitute the pattern because we don't believe there's a pattern, then we don't have anything. We don't have anything. We don't have any guidance. It's all guesswork. I think God would like this. I think God would like that. I think I will do what I want and you do what you want and every man will do what is right in his own eyes. Which is exactly the way things were in the days of the judges, which is not a period of Israelite history that I would recommend that we imitate for the most part. We must take this seriously. If you're not a Christian today, we want you to understand that you come to God, you come to God to give yourself to Him, your life to Him, everything to Him. thinking about the Lord's Supper this morning and thinking about that sacrifice that Trent talked about, there's a place in heaven. There's a place in heaven for me. There's a place in heaven for you. Right there where God and the angels are and the Lord is, there's a place there for me. And there's a place there for you. And the sacrifice of Jesus Christ on that cross is what made it possible for me to go there to that place which is prepared for me. My spot and your spot. And that's something to rejoice about. Believe that Jesus is the Christ. Repent of sin. Abandon that lifestyle. Turn away from it. Confess your faith. Be baptized to have your sins removed. Conditions of salvation that God has appointed. We do these things, and that wonderful sacrifice, that wonderful blood, will enable God to forgive us our sins. The salvation has been brought down. It's time for you to pick up yours. It's time for you to pick up yours. Why don't you meet these conditions and be saved today and have your hope of heaven? If you haven't been faithful, child of God, but you haven't been faithful, be restored today. Renew your determination to go to heaven. Renew your allegiance to God. Whatever you have done, if it is of a public nature, you want to confess that and have us to pray with you, we will be glad to do that. Whatever your situation or condition may be, if we may be of assistance, if it is your desire to render obedience to the gospel of Jesus, we invite you to come as we stand and sing.